Even if the sun ceases to rise, even if the wind stops to blow, but the name of Sligo Rover will shine and shine forever.
Well, the international break in soccer means that the SSC Men's Premier Division is on an international rest until next weekend. Sligo Rovers will resume their impressive start to the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division with a trip to Waterford on Good Friday. That match will be live on Friday night next on Ocean FM from 7:45 from the RSC. For Sligo Rovers women, it was round one of the Avenir All-Ireland Cup. Sligo Rovers in a four-team Group D, which also includes last year's winners in the inaugural season, Galway United, Glentoran and Athlone Town. Athlone Town have gone to Belfast today and beaten Glentoran by 5-2. On Saturday night at the Showgrounds, it ended Sligo Rovers 0, Galway United 2. But much encouragement for Sligo Rovers boss Tommy Hewitt to take from the Rovers' performance at the Showgrounds this weekend, as he explained to our reporter Donal Ryan.
Very positive, loads of positives. I said to the girls there, the positives outweigh the negatives. 2 goals, 2 mistakes, things that can be rectified. I thought the girls were brilliant, put in a massive shift. We're on the track, we're on the right track. It's going to take time. It's not only going to happen over the next couple of weeks, but it's going to take months for them to get used to my style. But I genuinely, I know nobody likes losing. Galway are a very good team. Galway are a very, very good team. They're well organised, well drilled. They've been doing it the last 2 or 3 years. We're only 2 months in existence, as in from my tender. So, and the girls are responding well. I think everybody's seen it there tonight. Anybody who was in the game tonight could see how hard the girls worked. Just probably need to relax in the final third a small bit, but that'll come.
And you had chances, particularly towards the end of the second half, to get back into the game as well, even though at stages it might have looked like it was slightly out of Sligo Rovers' reach tonight.
Yeah, even when they got the second one, I felt we could get back into it. But I said that little bit of composure in the second half. Maybe if that one goes in, that, you know, everybody thought it was in, and it gives us a little bit more momentum. But the reaction of the girls, when I come up here, people are saying, "Oh, Sligo, they die after 60 minutes, and you know they're gone out of the game." But like their fitness levels, their tenacity, their willingness to get back into the game, it's shown there tonight. So I'm happy.
Just on that as well, you mentioned that maybe in the past people have said the Sligo Rovers kind of die out towards the end and the game's kind of run out of gas, but it looked tonight like that was when Sligo Rovers had most of the ball and looked like they were going to make most of an impact on the game.
Yeah, the girls have worked extremely hard on their fitness over the last 4 or 5 months, and Conor Rush and Sean Hogg, the fitness guys, have really, really put in a good shift with them, so you can see it there. And the scary thing is they're only going to get fitter and better, I think.
And just your view on, I suppose, the goal that could have been. It looked like Marie O'Sullivan dropped it over the line from where we were sitting. What was your own view on it?
Like, I mean, my view was that she did drop it. Now, I know there was contact after the ball was in the net, and I actually thought the linesman was flagging for a goal, but it looked, obviously you gave a free. These things happen, you know. It would have got us, I really felt if we got there, we probably would have got a draw of it. Did we deserve to win it? Probably not, but definitely a draw. We deserved something out of it anyway.
I suppose it's kind of frustrating as well. A fantastic performance first time out against Shelburne almost 3 weeks ago at this stage. Then you have to wait a week to play another game, and now you're playing the same opposition twice in 2 weeks.
Yeah, but look, it is what it is. We're not going to draw too much into it. They arrested a few players as well tonight as well, but I think we really showed them that, you know, they're not going to come up here and get it easy. So, like we said it there, they didn't really open us up in open play. So, you know, 2 goals, we'll say 2 mistakes, 2 well-taken goals by them, but preventable. But you know, we're looking forward to next week, and everybody's positive, so that's the main thing.
Were you looking at this game this weekend as a warm up for next week?
Absolutely, yeah, because as you said, we had no game last week, so it was important that we got everybody as close to 90 minutes as we can for next week. And you know, but we're a work in progress, and I would encourage people to come out and watch the girls, come get here next week and cheer on the girls again.
And finally on that, Tommy, as well, horrific conditions there, especially in the second half, but 287 in the Showgrounds this evening, a pretty good crowd to start the season for at home.
Yeah, absolutely, and we'll always strive for more, but no, thanks to all the crowd to come out, and it's the supporters and the girls. I'm not sure what club they're with. The
girls, Bolvin, I've seen.
Yeah, thanks to them as well, and you know, the good atmosphere there, and they really got behind the girls, and the girls feed off that, so it's fantastic.
Tommy Hewitt, the Sligo Rovers women's manager, with Donal Ryan, 287 in the showgrounds for that cross-border cup game. Sligo Rovers and Galway United on Saturday night. The same two sides meet at the same venue next Saturday evening in the league. This time, kickoff is at 7 o'clock, and the Rovers girls would appreciate big home support for their first home league fixture of the 2024 season. Next to the Sligo Rovers Academy, which now has six teams up and running, and it's a busy place, 7 days a week. Boys under 14, under 15, under 17 and under 20 National League teams, as well as girls under 17 and under 19 teams. The man trying to pull it all together with the aid of his coaches across all the teams is former Sligo Rovers player and captain, Conor O'Grady. He sat down to talk with Ocean FM Sport this week about his role in depth and about the academy's ambitions and plans and challenges.
We always wanted to grow and get bigger, and I think probably, well, I know definitely since the start of the under 19 league back 10 or 12 years ago, there's been huge growth in probably all academies, and obviously we have six teams here now, the four boys and the two ladies teams. And you know, this, we've, you know, added on the senior women's team to that, which is great for the women's side of the academy. And I look, there will be growth continually, but I suppose the biggest thing we need now is we need financial backing from the powers to be to make infrastructures better at clubs, you know, to maintain the day-to-day running of the academies, to bring more people into full-time employment, in coaching or whatever it would be at football clubs. I believe there is an industry there, but I believe the industry needs backing, and unfortunately the backing on that is money, and it all comes down to money. We can make things better, we can make little things better here and there, obviously along the way, of course, that doesn't need money. But I think if we're going to take it to the next level in this country, and I'm sure all head of academies agree with me, I think finances, is money, is the big one.
Yeah, and I want to go back to that in a couple of minutes. What is your definition of success for the Sligo Rovers Academy? Is it how many players each season you filter through to John Russell with the senior men's team, to Tommy Hewitt with the senior women's team? Is it as bald as that?
Well, I suppose, you know, when you take the job initially, that's, you know, you're trying to get as many players, and I make no, you know, I don't make any apologies when I speak to the parents at the start, even the under 14 parents at the start. My job initially is to get as many players through the academy as possible, or get players sold, or whatever it may be, like players that are playing even around the league. If you look around the league now, we have so many players playing with other clubs that have come through the academy, and I don't see that as a bad thing. I think that is a positive thing for us. But I understand as well that, and I say this as well in the introductory meeting, is the majority of the kids coming through aren't going to get through to the first team. So, you know, you have to try and make it as enjoyable and as a real experience for them. And we also have the education side with the scholarships and stuff like that, which is something for the kids to look into. We have some of our academy coaches to help out on summer camps. So there's a lot of other stuff, things going on as well. But I suppose, you know, if you strip it all down, you know, my job, that is my job, is to try and help and oversee players making that jump from, you know, under 14 to first team, or under 17 to first team on the ladies' side. And look, over the last, I suppose, 10 or 12 years, we've been the front runners. Long before I came in, lads have been getting through, and girls obviously now getting through. And you know, last year, you look at us, we were second in minutes in the league for academy players who've come through the academy who played with the first team. So that's brilliant. And on the men's side, and I think we were first on the women's side. So, you know, they're the stats you like to hear. But we also have to realise that the experience for kids has to be positive. That's not always going to be the case, but that, you know, unfortunately, as at all academies and all levels in England, Scotland, wherever, the majority of kids, unfortunately, aren't going to make the breakthrough. But, that's really... Okay. Yeah.
Do all League of Ireland clubs have what Sligo Rovers have at this stage? Like, if you don't have an academy, are you behind the eight ball, so to speak?
Oh, well, they all have teams. Some teams have more than others. Like, we have the full deck of teams, if that's the correct term, but some teams are only adding on. Some teams have women's teams this year, 19s. There's a lot of clubs that don't have a women's senior team. I was really keen to get a women's senior team because, you know, you want to see Roisin Molloy play for Sligo Rovers and Mairn Devaney, who's back now, and I think that was a big thing. We were bringing players through to go to other clubs, and I know that can happen anyway. But there is some clubs are at different levels, Austin, to answer your question. But, you know, the FEI are pushing for all clubs to have a team at all age groups. Finn Harps have a 19s women's team this year, so I presume the next step for them will be to have a senior team, as the likes of Drogheda had the same of a 19s women's senior team. The next, I think it's on the women's side mainly where the add-ons are coming, and most clubs are nearly there.
You're in this job a couple of years now, so you've done a couple of laps of it to kind of understand how it works. And I suppose home fans here, we come to a home game on a Saturday night under the lights, and we see all that's laid out for a senior men's or women's fixture. A lot of fans probably don't see what's under the bonnet in terms of how the academy week works. Can you give us a bit of an insight, whether it's by give an example of one of the teams, the sort of week or month that they might have, and what goes into that to making that happen?
Yeah, so look, from I suppose 5:30 to 9:30 here, every night there's academy teams here, every night, Monday to Friday. And then for example this weekend we have a game on Saturday at 1:00, and we have a game on Sunday at 1:00. And we have a team in Limerick on Saturday afternoon, and a team in Athlone on Sunday afternoon. So we've two teams. On our under-17s lads game that was called off last weekend has actually been rescheduled for this weekend. There's games not being played this weekend because it's an international weekend. Under-19s Irish team are away in Slovakia. You go home on a Saturday night after a Rovers game here, you probably go back to the house and that's it. It's over till the next week. But, you know, I was in here at 8:00 Sunday morning. We had teams heading off. We were preparing. You're trying to make sure the place is kind of half respectable. If you have teams coming in or families coming in and players coming in, there could be alcohol around. Yeah, you want to clear the place up and make sure it's an acceptable environment for players to come in and kids to come in. You know, the fans and the committee are great on a Saturday night. They do a big clean up, but you don't get it all. But yeah, it's look, I suppose, Austin, for me personally, the eye opener for me was 7 days a week. You know, I suppose it was the eye opener for family as well. You know, the phone is obviously you're in 100 WhatsApp groups. You know, I am contactable, which I want to be. But it is a demanding job, but I love it. And I suppose it is Saturday night. You know, the women's are on this Saturday, you know, as well. You have a game at 1, you have a game at 7. You know, Sunday we're in again, and then you're back to Monday, and it's the same. It's an ongoing cycle. But it's really enjoyable, especially when the weather picks up a bit. We were here last night, now we got absolutely drenched. They're not the enjoyable nights, but they're the nights you have to put up with. But yeah, it's this place is going Monday to Monday, 7 days a week. There's always games on at the weekend, and I'd encourage people to come out and watch the academy games if they can. I know the it'll be great to see more people coming to the games and supporting the boys and girls.
One part of your job is keeping an eye on new talent, finding new players. I mean, is that a part of your brief you spend a lot of time on?
It is and it isn't, Austin. Like, we have the Centre of Excellence in Castlebar. I have a great relationship with Danny O'Leary. I was at the schools game yesterday with Niall Harrison. Westport were playing Abbey Vocational School. That was in McSherry Park. You know, we'd be regularly chatting to coaches at Sligo Leitrim level. So I suppose I've always said this, we're very lucky in this area that there's a great relationship with the league and the different people, our club, the FEI. That's not as strong in other areas. There's a lot of, you know, I suppose in-house fighting or whatever you want to call it, but we don't have that in this area. But no, I'd be chatting to the lads would chat to me. I suppose the big thing for us is maybe if a player comes into the area, you know, we've had a couple of we had a Ukrainian boy last year, and that kind of stuff. But to be honest, you'd have a fair idea of the majority of players, and like, you know, next year's under 14 team, you'd have nearly a fair idea of a lot of the names already in that 20 or 30 pot.
But the strength of your contacts book is important, I'm guessing.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, there was a game here on Monday between the Centre of Excellence. You know, Niall Harrison that morning sending me on the two teams by WhatsApp. So all that stuff, information is great to have. And you know, Danny the same. And you know, Danny's great. He's I might ask him to come in and do a session for a different voice, and you know, no problem, stuff like that. So we're very lucky. Danny obviously was Women's 17s manager here before he took the job, so that relationship is there with the club and that affinity to the club. But yeah, even the schools, coaches in Summerhill, I usually text them, see when the games are on, and you know, and they'd speak to me and stuff like that, and similar with the women's side of it as well. But I think we've a small enough area in terms of we're able to kind of keep an eye on it. But we do have players that have moved in to the area that you may not know, and that's where you might miss someone, or someone might recommend someone to you. And you know, if you have someone who you know and trust who is a good eye, you might ring you up and say we'd never turn anyone away, we'd have a look at them anyway.
It's been well documented that one of the challenges for League of Ireland senior managers in this part of the country is to persuade players to move to Sligo or to Donegal, to Derry, throw in their lot with a club in this part of the country. Do you find that's a similar challenge if you identify someone who's not from the immediate catchment area?
Not so far, Austin. We have players coming from, you know, as far as Athlone at the moment, Castlereagh, up as far as Top Letter, you know, past Letterkenny, all around the Mayo region, from Claremorris to Westport, you know, to Maersk, you know, they're coming from all sides. So no, we haven't found that a problem. Obviously the commitment level's parents put in is phenomenal, and if there is an issue with a kid coming, it's usually probably down to the parent being able to give the commitment. It's great if we can have three or four from the same area where they can carpool, but something like that can dissuade a player from, or a family from coming, because maybe with other kids and job commitments they're not able to make the commitment, because like, again, go back to that people do not realise the commitment parents are putting in, and the parents who are travelling an hour and a half after a day's work and waiting here for an hour and a half, or you know, 2 hours, and back then for an hour and a half, and you know, it's a huge commitment. But no, the majority that we would look for would come.
I'm sure there are rewarding parts of the job when you see an Anna Clancy, a Johnny Kenny, a Caelan Barlow, an Emma Doherty graduating to senior football here at the Showgrounds. In terms of the hard parts of the job, part of your role is to tell a player, we won't be keeping you next season, you've got to release a player from time to time. What is that like to have to do?
Yeah, it's probably the part of the job that you don't like. And I suppose coming in, I was a bit naive to it in terms of, because I'd never done it before. And you learn you get better at it as it goes on. If you can get better at it, if that's the right thing to do, right thing to say. I try to put myself in my own shoes, because I have two boys, and look, no matter who you say it to or what you say, some people take it better than others. And it's really difficult and it's hard. Some people, you know, it's not a popularity contest. My job here, I'm trying to help run a football club in my department, and it's something that's really hard. And I think sometimes it can be more hard for the parents than it can be for the kids themselves. The kids probably have accepted it quicker than the parents, and sometimes it's the opposite. So it just depends, I suppose, on the individuals, and I think the wording of it is important. But you know, we've had players that we've released here and we've had them back coaching, and we've had them back you know, maybe on summer camps and stuff, but we've had players here who we've released and you know, they've never spoke to me again, and that's the reality of it. So you have to just, I suppose, thick skin and get on with it. And I'm not, you know, as a referee, it's kind of nearly the analogy of a referee. You're going to make some people happy and you're going to make some people very unhappy. So, you know,
it comes with the territory.
Yeah, it comes with the territory. I'm sure John will tell you the same. Releasing a man or a boy or a kid or whatever, it's not a nice thing to do. And look at these things, it has to be done. And look, the majority of these players coming in aren't going to play with the first team, boys and girls, and that's the majority of all the clubs here. all the clubs probably in Europe. But again, I think a good endorsement of our academy at the moment is if you sometimes look outside the club and look at how many players we have playing at other clubs. I think that's really, it's probably the most we've ever had. Like if you go through each team in the Premier Division, I think we have nearly one player at every club, which is phenomenal, really, when you think about it, for a small North West club to have so many players playing with Premier Division clubs and First Division and down in the North as well.
And in relation to that, I think we spoke about this before last year, you know, producing players that maybe will move on to, in inverted commas, a higher level, that's a reflected compliment on the academy here too, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think for us as a club, it's identifying the players that aren't probably going to play here. They're not going to be Sligo Rovers players, they're probably going to go on a bit further. And I think it's probably become more, we have more of a responsibility now with Brexit as well, where they could go when they were 16 before.
So for people who don't know this, explain what the Brexit rules, what the change last couple of years, what that means in practical terms for a young footballer here.
So we'd say in our time, Austin, 16, if Leeds United come in for Austin O'Callaghan, and Austin O'Callaghan head off to Leeds United and probably be going over the year before that on the school holidays and whatever else. Now you have to be 18 years of age before you can leave, which puts more of a onus on the club now. I think it puts an onus on everything, really, that, you know, for us to make things better. But with Brexit now, you've seen a lot of players over the last couple of years go to European clubs. You know, you've seen a couple go to Udinese. Young Moore from Cork went to Hoffenheim, and Cathal Heffernan has been at AC Milan. Now he's back with Newcastle. And we've interest as well from. You know, foreign clubs for some of our players as well. So that's going to be a big change. I think you're going to see more and more of the Central European, you know, Nordic clubs come looking for our players. But yeah, on the English side of it, or the Scottish side of it, they have to be 18 before they can leave. Which there's positives and negatives for me. The positive, obviously, they're staying at home to finish their education. They're not homesick or, you know, missing home. The negative for me, and the big one for me always, Austin, is the contact time. They go to England, they go to Everton, we'll say our affiliated club. They're training four or five times a week. They're living the professional footballer life. We can't provide that for them yet in our current situation here. And that's where we go back to, if we got finances and, you know, our academies were funded greatly, we might be able to start adding on pieces to that jig. So, you know.
Okay, so academies here don't get to spend enough time with their players, that's what you're saying?
Oh, 100%, yeah. That's the biggest issue we have, is contact time. Like, and even if you compare that to the Dublin teams, we'd be way behind, and all of us have been way behind. Obviously, space is an issue too for teams. We would have teams... and we're lucky. We're one of the lucky ones here. We're actually, when I talk to other heads of academies, we're absolutely blessed. But, you know, there'd be probably one or two nights where teams would have to share the pitch. And that's the reality of it. That will be the big one for me. Contact hours it needs to be better. And it needs to be better even from an underage point of view, as in terms of under 8, under 9, under 10, under 11.
Okay.
They need to be doing more.
What's the starting age in your mind?
Well, everyone kicks a ball at a different age. I think it has to be fun and all that. Yeah. It has to be that aspect of fun. But, you know, my own young fella's under 10, he's training three times a week. So that tells you. Now that's been pushed by people at around that team, and there's other teams doing that. But... there has to be contact time is the big one for me. I know, like, we do two sessions here a week, pitch sessions. The older group do their own gym sessions. So, but that for me wouldn't be enough for the and, like, when you look at the stats of the kids in England and Scotland and, you know, any of the professional leagues, and that contact hours they would have to compare to ours, like, we're actually punching away. But what we're doing is probably phenomenal for what we're putting into it in terms of pitch time.
So to finish where we started, in terms of what would make your job easier and that of other heads of academy around the League of Ireland, is it money, which enables you to devote more energy, resources, coaches' time to this?
In the ideal world, Austin, I'd have a group of staff here. Like, you know, that'd be the ideal world. You have a group of staff, you'd have full-time coaches, and you'd be able to provide, you know, that, I suppose, trainee environment for kids, if it was, you know, that they would be able to be on site all the time, and be educated at the same time. And that's something that we are looking at down the road, on maybe a TY course or something like that. But I think ideally, like, you look at, I'm looking at Premiership clubs, but I'm just going to take it for example, you know, and even Championship clubs, you know, they have them in under 8, under 9. It's them in blocks of 6 weeks, and they go back to their clubs then and play with their clubs. But they are obviously highlighting the best players and taking them in. I suppose we don't have that structure here of leagues under 8, under 9. But more money to provide more staff, and the knock-on effect is, you know, more contact hours, better facilities, better infrastructure. All that stuff is where it has to go.
Yeah.
And look, Austin, I always say, I walked in here in 1988 as a young fella. Look at where we've come from.
So we've
improved. The lights have gone up this year. Yeah. In fairness, the club is always trying to improve and make things better. But I think it does. I think, and all the clubs need support.
And as it stands, I mean, you correct me if I'm wrong, you don't get any specific academy funding from the FAI or the government, or do you? I mean, are you relying on club cash to supplement what you do?
Yeah, we get FAI funding. Now, it wouldn't be enough for what our outgoings for the year would be, but the club is run, the men's academy is all run as one entity. But I suppose I know Will Clark, the FAI head of academy, and, you know, Mark Canham and all these fellas have gone and met the government on numerous occasions over the last couple of months and years before Mark came in, and they have gone with a proposal. And if that came true, that'd be brilliant. You know, if we could all get that. I know they want to categorise the academies like in England. I'm not sure we're ready for that yet, but I understand where they're trying to do that, because the fund then would depend on what category you were at, and then that might make some clubs make themselves improve and provide better facilities. But they need the money first as well, so it's kind of getting sometimes the cart is before the horse, and sometimes we just need to get the cart behind the horse first. But all these things will help, but it is Austin, to be honest. You want to have better facilities here, more staff here, better infrastructure around the whole country.
And to finish, do you get a sense that at least there's more conversation about this now in the Irish football scene, that maybe the government is going to come under a bit of pressure? Listen, you're going to have to support the domestic soccer game a bit better than you have been. That time is coming now. Are you cautiously optimistic that maybe there's a bit of public pressure coming to bear?
Well, from when I started, I think it is. I think Brexit has made a huge difference to this, because would it be as much? I'm sure with Will coming in his job as full-time head of academy with the FAI, he's been pushing for us. Will previously worked for Bray Wanderers and St. Joey Boys, so he's a background in this. I think, look, the government, I think they've obviously gone to government, look, we're going to be providing the players now for the Irish team in the future. It's not going to be Liverpool or Leeds United or whoever. They're not going to be gone at 15 or 16 and in that YTS system, and we're the providers of it now, and we've been doing that for a good few years, I think, as well. But they need to make more funds available for us to produce better players, and I said this earlier, and I do believe it. Like, we're punching way above our weight, I think, and for what we're doing, for what we have, and we're the club, and look, the club have been unbelievable. We're the only team now with no investor or benefactor in the league, and you know what we're doing is phenomenal, and I think people sometimes forget that.